Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Athletes who play contact sports wear helmets for protection. Helmets can reduce the severity of trauma when an impact occurs. If you're a cyclist or a skier, if you fall, you risk a serious head injury if you're not wearing a helmet.
Helmet technology has come a long way from the early leather helmets worn by football players in the 1920s. Today's protective helmets offer much more than a padded plastic shell. Joining us for a discussion on helmets, how protective they are in reducing injuries, and the new helmet technology that's available is Dr. Stefan Duma, professor of engineering and the founding director of the Virginia Tech Wake Forest Center for Injury Biomechanics. Dr. Duma's research includes the development and implementation of the STAR rating system that helps consumers choose the safest helmets for playing football in hockey.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Duma. Thank you for your time.
Happy to be here.
We put on a helmet and we feel maybe not invincible, but we do feel significantly safer. But realistically speaking, how much injury protection does a helmet provide?
Well, historically, helmets across all sports have done a very good job at protecting against a catastrophic skull fracture and brain injury. And more recently, some helmets are doing a better job of reducing head acceleration, and it depends on sports and it depends on the helmet.
Explain the process by which greater acceleration leads to greater injury.
When we talk about injury biomechanics or how people get hurt, it's really about acceleration. We classically would say speed kills, but velocity is not really a problem. If you think about flying in an airplane, you're going 500 miles an hour, so it's not really a problem if you slow down gradually. Acceleration means you're going to lose or gain velocity very quickly. So how much you accelerate causes, in the head, for example, the skull will accelerate. That causes the brain to deform. The higher the acceleration, the more the brain deforms from its own inertia as it tries to catch up. The more you deform the brain, the higher risk and more severe injury you have. So higher acceleration leads to higher brain deformation, and that leads to higher risk of injury.
And it's interesting that for people that ride bicycles, now what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that the faster you go and the faster you're going when your head hits another object, whatever that is, you have more of a chance to have a more severe head injury. But people do get injured even just falling off their bike when they're riding at a very low rate of speed, right?
Right. The injury is going to be about how quickly you lose that velocity. Certainly, if you're going at a high speed and you run into a wall, you're going to lose a lot of velocity very quickly, have high acceleration, high risk. But as you mentioned, even falling off a bike sideways, if you think about that height, so you're looking at a 5 or 6 foot drop to the ground, that's a lot of energy. And we know that a 5 or 6 foot drop to the ground without a helmet, that will almost always cause a skull fracture. So the helmets are providing a lot of protection, even for what would seem like a smaller incident.
How protective are helmets against the severity of a concussion?
That depends on sports. So if you look at football, historically, the helmets did very little to prevent the risk of concussion. Over the past 5 years, all the manufacturers have made dramatic improvements in the kind of helmets they're making and basically the amount of padding that they have. And we've published research that shows going to these newer helmets, these 4- and 5-star helmets that we've rated, reduces the risk of concussion injury by about 50%.
How has the technology changed over the years? I know I read an article about this new helmet that was introduced in the NFL by some players this year, 01. And the company that makes them says the product's design reduces the severity of impact the head and brain experience in collision. So just give us a little background on how technology has changed and which technology shows the most promise.
Well, every football company has their own intellectual property and their own style of padding. So Vicis makes a 01, and they have a very unique system that allows deformation and helps the impact. Other companies use foam. Some use a dashpot type device. Some use a buckling type device. So there's a lot of different ways to come at it. Basically, what these better helmets do is they provide more padding across all impact levels, and they reduce head accelerations. the better helmets do a better job of reducing both linear and rotational acceleration. And that's really where you've seen the big change, especially in the past few years. A lot more technology, and again, across all manufacturers, going into their helmets to basically pad and cushion the impact as much as possible.
So when I pick up a helmet, all I see is a hard shell, and what lies beneath will vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. But is there, if you were to take us through a helmet, much like an onion, could you describe some of the elements or materials that we might encounter?
Sure. So if we look at a football helmet, for the most part, you have an outside shell that's a plastic, a polycarbonate, and that provides a way of distributing the local contact force. So you distribute the load. Underneath that shell is some sort of padding that cushions the impact. So you have a shell that distributes the load, and then you have a pad that cushions the impact. Now, some of the newer helmets, like the Zero One or the Speed Flex and some of the products by Schutt, are actually starting to make the outside shell a little more flexible and use that as also a tool to reduce the impact acceleration.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking about helmet technology and how far it's come to help reduce some severe head injuries. Our guest is Dr. Stefan Duma. He's a professor of engineering and the founding director of the Virginia Tech Wake Forest Center for Injury Biomechanics. In 2011, you and a group of other researchers at Virginia Tech developed a rating system, you mentioned it earlier, for football helmets so consumers could make informed decisions when purchasing a helmet. And you've now expanded, I think, to hockey helmets as well. Tell us just briefly about the star rating system and what impact it's had on the manufacturers responding and how that might improve the performance of a helmet.
So initially, there was some pushback from the manufacturers, but once they understood the science and all of our research is peer-reviewed and published, they understood that there was a lot of good science behind what we're proposing. We're using a lot of history in terms of how the players are impacted, which direction, how severe, to come up with a star rating system. Then the manufacturers basically optimized their design to perform well to have a five-star helmet. In a similar fashion, the car companies no longer make two-star cars because no one's going to buy a two-star car. So if you look at the football industry, they changed. In 2011, there was one five-star helmet. Now there's 18 five-star helmets. Basically, every company makes the very best available helmet. And they've been very receptive. As we've expanded out, looking into hockey and other sports, the manufacturers are seeing the same thing, coming out with optimized designs that do a better job of protecting the head impact.
Are helmets designed very differently from sport to sport? For example, is a football helmet radically different from a hockey helmet?
In a general sense, they are pretty different. The philosophy is still the same. You sort of have a shell and you have padding. But if you look at hockey, when we first rated hockey, for example, there was no four-star and no five-star helmets. And in fact, about 20% of the helmets we gave the lowest rating, a zero star, are not recommended. So the hockey helmets were, in general, much smaller with much less padding, and it ended up with a lot higher head accelerations. Now you see there's one four-star helmet that's on the market, and we anticipate future four- and five-star hockey helmets. And effectively, they're going to have more padding, and it's going to better reduce the contact.
How is
If you look at other sports like bicycling, you know, they're very different. They're almost all EPS, expanded polystyrene, and they provide a good protection against skull fracture, but they have a large way to go in terms of really reducing head acceleration like these other sport helmets can.
In this last minute we have left with you, we really want to get some consumer advice so that folks that are in the market to buy a helmet, whether it be a motorcyclist or a bicyclist. One question I have is how cost relates to performance. Are the better helmets more expensive? And then what should people look for when purchasing a helmet?
It's a great question. What we found in almost every sport, from football to hockey to bicycling, is that there's almost no correlation between cost and performance. Some of the cheaper helmets perform really well. Some of the most expensive don't perform as well. So we encourage people to go to our website. It's just vt.edu/helmet, and you can go pick whatever sport from there. And we list the prices on there as well as the ratings, so you can see how well the helmet performs and then what we paid for it.
Dr. Stefan Duma is professor of engineering and the founding director of the Virginia Tech Wake Forest Center for Injury Biomechanics. Dr. Duma, thank you so much for your advice.
Thank you.